I'm Jez Barron, and this is Colt Chinero Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Atletico Madrid and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, SB Nation's home for all things Atletico. My guest on this edition of Colt Chinero Chat is author and Spanish football journalist Ewan McTeer. Ewan McTeer is the guest on this edition of Colt Chinero Chat. Ewan returns to the program for an international break roundup and debate sesh. We'll catch you up on how all of Atletico's internationals are doing, including Jose Jimenez and his latest injury over in China, Stefan Savic returning to the fold with Montenegro, and perhaps with Atletico as he has been declared fit after his hamstring injury, how Koke, Sal, and Diego Costa got on in Spain's 1-1 friendly draw against Germany, and we'll make time to talk about Lautaro Martinez and Paulo Dybala before we move on to the big debate about Atletico's badge, the controversy, where we see it going, how big a deal it is. It's a great show. You're not going to want to miss it. Before we launch into all that, however, a couple programming notes. As ever, please subscribe, please rate, please review Colt Chinero Chat on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Helps get the program's visibility, helps us get more eyes and ears on Colt Chinero Chat. In addition, you can become a Colt Chinero Chat amigo for as little as $1 a month. $1 a month at patreon.com/ColtChinero Chat. If, however, you become a $3 amigo, a $5 amigo, or even higher than that, you'll get some pretty cool benefits, including access to the bonus pod. There is no bonus pod this week, but Rob Walker will return to the show next week, where we will have a fresh rumor roundup. You'll also get access to some pretty cool stuff, including halftime analysis videos that are now being moved over exclusively to the Patreon page, halftime of every Atletico game, patreon.com/ColtChineroChat, the place to be if you want access to those goodies and more. We'll be back with Ewan McTeer after this. I'd like to start by talking about this really exciting new project that you've recently signed on to in La Liga Lowdown.
Yeah, that's right. We've started a new project, as you mentioned, La Liga Lowdown. We've got guys based across Spain, and the idea is to bring content about La Liga, speaking to fans, speaking to players, speaking to people at clubs, bringing interviews, analysis, and just sort of letting English-speaking La Liga fans around the world almost get that ear to the ground of what's going on in Spain. We're going to try and bring the sort of fans' perspective, the club's perspective, and it's quite an exciting new venture.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It started on March 1st, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. First of March.
It's first month's been brilliant, I gotta say. The most recent interview was the one with Shaq Moore. I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, if you've not checked it out yet, then good to get over to YouTube. La Liga Lowdown is the name, and see what Shaq Moore had to say. He had some interesting things to say, especially about when he took on Messi and how just surreal that was for him.
Yeah, you guys have the mini pods, 60-second debates. It's a lot of really cool stuff. So check out La Liga Lowdown on YouTube, Twitter, all that stuff. It's pretty great. So we don't have it's the international break, which but we do still have stuff to talk about in Atletico world. A couple places we could start. I'll let you pick, actually. We could do like a roundup of where the players have been. We actually had a pretty big development with one player in particular this morning. Or we could talk about the reignited debate about the club badge.
Yeah, well, why don't we start with the sort of roundup of where players have been then?
Absolutely.
I think I know if this player you might be mentioning, if his name begins with a G and ends in Jimenez, then this is definitely worth getting into, especially with how thin the squad has become in recent weeks.
I like how I literally published a column yesterday about Jimenez like kind of rejuvenating Atletico's defense, and the day after he gets hurt. I love how that happened. It's like a jinx.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's bad news for him, but obviously bad news for Atletico as a whole.
Yeah.
With Felipe Luis being out, Lucas Hernandez is going to have to move over to the left. So then, that's him down to no more senior centre backs, and It's worrying for the club, but even more, it's a real shame for him because he'd been playing so well, really. And I wonder if he hadn't gotten hurt. I mean, it would have been an interesting decision for Simeone to make if he put Savic back in there, and I don't think he would have because Jimenez had been playing so well that he wouldn't. There'd be no reason to drop him, but now this injury might change things. We don't know quite how serious it is, but yeah, fingers crossed for him.
Yeah, he'd been, as I wrote, he'd been on a 6-week run of just dominance. He's single-handedly pretty much turned around Atletico's defense from where it was with Godin and Savic together. And yeah, it's really rough for him because another injury, he cannot stay healthy more than about 6 weeks. And if you missed it, what happened was Andy King fell down while he was fighting for the ball with Jose Ma, and Jose Ma twisted his ankle. It looked pretty bad. He had to come out very early in Uruguay's 1-0 win over Wales in the China Cup. So fingers crossed that it's going to be touch and go. My guess is he'll go back to Madrid probably right away and to get some tests done. I would be stunned if he played this weekend against Deportivo. That's not a very important game. And, well, hopefully it's not very severe and he'll be back for the Europa League or, if not, the Madrid derby. But, yeah, it certainly means Savic is going to come back in the team. And, I don't know, I would consider moving Lucas to center back and just handing Sergi a couple starts.
Yeah, like you say, I mean, the next game is Deportivo La Coruña, and I mean, Deportivo are just abysmal right now as a team. So this would actually maybe be a good game to sort of bed Sergi in because you probably don't want to use him in Europa League, probably don't want to use him in the Madrid derby. But if you're looking at the fixtures that are remaining this season, this is probably home game against Deportivo is probably the easiest one that there is remaining. So yeah, that would maybe be an option and give him some minutes and. Because he's looked promising in the sort of Copa games he's had a wee run out in. So, yeah, and some of those Copa games might have been tougher than Deportivo could be.
Yeah, Elche away might be tougher than Depor at home.
It might actually, yeah.
It's really sad, but probably true. Yeah, Uruguay again won the China Cup, so Diego Godin gets some silverware. I mean, it's a friendly tournament, but silverware is silverware.
I wonder if the China Cup is actually made of China, because that would be very, very fragile if someone dropped it Sergio Ramos style.
That's a good question and a very good point. Yeah, we'll have to look into that. See if you posted any photos on Instagram of it, because I actually don't know what it looks like.
I wonder if there even is a cup or if this is, yeah.
Like a
just,
bowl.
Just an excuse to make these friendlies sound a bit more interesting than they really are.
Probably. So, Godin played 90 minutes in both games. He did not get hurt, thank goodness. Speaking of Savic, he got some time with Montenegro over the international break. His first action in about 6 weeks. And, yeah, as we mentioned, he will probably be needed at the weekend. Jan Oblak was on duty with his native Slovenia, but was sent home early. Didn't seem like it was due to the injury concerns that he's harbored over the past couple weeks. Just seemed, from what I've read, seemed more of a matter of Slovenia isn't going to the World Cup, there's not really much to play for, so they decided to send him back to Madrid, and that's probably good news for Atletico, that Oblak is back and hopefully getting healthier. He's on the mend.
Yeah, he didn't even play in the first game that Slovenia had against Austria, and then yeah, he's been sent home early ahead of the second one. And there was a club statement came out which said, you know, he's not necessarily injured, but they'd spoken with Atletico and knew that he had been injured in the last few weeks, so they didn't want to unnecessarily risk anything for, like you say, for a team that isn't going to the World Cup.
Yeah, fair enough. And that does work for Atletico. Antoine Griezmann and Lucas Hernandez both playing for France. A little bit surprising that the latter declared for France in the end. It looked very much like he was going to declare for Spain, Ewan. What did you make of that decision?
Yeah, it did. I mean, he'd been saying all the right things for moving, pledging allegiance to Spain over the past few weeks, but it seems to have been some sort of problem with actually becoming, getting that sort of Spanish citizenship, and some of his legal problems have reportedly held that up. And I think he realised if he was going to go to the World Cup, it wasn't going to get sorted in time for him to move to Spain, so he's picked France. And And he said all the right things at the press conference about how he never doubted it for a second, even though we all know from various press conferences over the past year that he clearly did doubt it for several seconds. Mm-hmm. So Yeah, we'll see how he does with France. I think it's a good fit for him, and I couldn't really have seen him playing too much with Spain in the near future. But France, I think there's maybe a bit more. I think there's more options for him to get game time in defence. So, good for him. We'll see how he does.
Yeah. There could be more options for him in France, but in Spain, I could have viewed him easily as the successor of the Piqué Ramos era. Like, he would have been the guy, but. It'll be very competitive in France, but Lucas is a really talented defender. So wherever he went, he was gonna make waves. I think he will be just fine. Finally, a lot of action from Atletico's Spanish players, Coque, Saúl, in particular, in the friendly against Germany last week, which was a very good game, or a very fun game. Not necessarily a very good game, but a very fun game. I didn't watch it live, I watched it later, and this was a lot of fun. Coque started, played the whole 90 minutes, because that's what Coque does. Saúl came on as a substitute at halftime. Diego Costa came on about 25 minutes from time. I had a chance to put Spain ahead about 10 minutes after he came on, but just fluffed his lines. Excited about the World Cup more after watching this game, Ewan?
Yeah, I really am. I mean, as far as international friendlies go, this was actually a lot of fun, and it's a really end-to-end game, and there could have been a lot more goals if it wasn't for a couple of instances of poor finishing and the fact that Ter Stegen and De Gea are two of the best goalkeepers in the world. So, yeah, it was a really fun game, and good to see some Atletico guys get some minutes, and I thought Coque and Saúl played really well. Costa looked lively when he came on, but everyone will point to the one chance he had that he sort of took too long with and missed, but you know, he was putting a lot of pressure on, and in a way I guess we had another Atletico player with Rodri coming on as well, a future Atletico, getting some minutes, his debut for Spain, and he came on with his shirt tucked in the shorts, and he looked like a throwback to the 60s or 70s, but he looked quite involved, and you could see towards the end a lot of the players were trying to get him involved, and he was sort of holding that Busquets role that he was speaking about that in the press conference before the game, and about how he looks to Busquets as you know, a role model and basically his idol, and he came on and just sort of sat in front of the defence in the centre of the park, and you know, he's not Busquets, but he didn't look out of place either.
He's the new Sergio Busquets, as he has been mooted, and yeah, I'm really excited about him coming to Atletico this summer, assuming it gets done. Nothing is ever a certainty with this club, but it does look like it's going to happen, and it's really exciting. A little bit more about the Germany and Spain game. Do you think that more or less this is the majority of the team that Lopetegui is going to roll with at the World Cup? I mean, Rodrigo might not start. He probably won't. But can you see most of these guys forming his first starting 11 in Russia?
Yeah, I really can. I think there's maybe three spots in that starting 11 that could change. One of them will be Busquets when he comes back from injury. I imagine he'll start in the middle instead of Thiago, yeah, who was in that sort of central role. And then I think the other two spots are, as you mentioned, the number 9, the centre forward. Is it going to be Diego Costa? Does Morata come back into form and get that spot? Or is it going to be Rodrigo? Or are they going to play with a number 9? So I think that's a big doubt. And then the other one is the last midfielder. You're going to have Iniesta and Busquets for sure, and then I think it's going to be a battle between two Atletico Madrid players, between Coque and Saúl, to get that, and probably Thiago as well, to get that third midfield spot. So I think, yeah, more or less Lopetegui knows his lineup, but yeah, I think that third midfielder, is that spot's still up for grabs, and yeah, we'll see what he does up front, who's going to lead the line.
Yeah, that's definitely the most pressing question entering the World Cup, is who is going to be the number 9. Rodrigo has been so impressive this season, and he played really well last week. He's been so good for Valencia, really key to helping them effectively get back into the Champions League. It's pretty much confirmed that they'll be there next year. But Costa has been really good since moving back to Madrid. Morata has kind of fallen off the face of the earth the last few months. But if he has a strong end to the season, that might swing the pendulum back in his favor. So I really don't know what Lopetegui's going to do. I kind of think he'll lean toward Costa, at least at the start. But if Morata has a really good end to the season, I could see him sneaking in. Lopetegui's not going to try to accommodate both of them. It's going to be one. and the others will just have to wait.
Yeah, I think it kind of makes sense as well. You see who's in good form at the end of the season, and you know, go with the guy who's on fire. And I think Costa will be an option no matter what, because he's a slightly different kind of centre forward, at least very different from your typical Spanish centre forward. So I think he's always going to be there, as he's going to start some games because it's going to suit Lopetegui against certain opposition, and he's going to be in the bench for some games because his style might not suit against certain opposition. But I think Costa will be there. He'll play a little bit, and then in terms of who that other number nine that's maybe a bit more able to act as a sort of false nine and link up a bit more with play, whether that's Rodrigo, Morata or someone else, I think your best bet is to wait and see who's in good form, and yeah, go with the guy on the hot streak.
Yeah, there's going to be another twist. Maybe that's Morata finding form again, or Rodrigo just sailing through to the end of the season in great form, or maybe even Costa just scores a bunch of goals from here on out and solidifies that spot. It's going to be a weird one. Other than that, I think you're pretty much spot on. The Koke and Sao and Thiago for that final midfield spot, that's also going to be kind of a race. I think it goes to Koke. Lopetegui really likes Koke. I mean, he likes Thiago and Sao as well, but Koke has been a pretty central part of his plan since he took over the Spain job. But yeah, lots of tough decisions to make. This is a really good team that is, I think, can absolutely go and win the World Cup this summer. It's a really good team. A lot of talent here.
Yeah, they've got to be considered one of the favourites. I mean, they're unbeaten in Lopetegui's reign so far, and they've played a lot of good teams. They've played England, France, Germany just there, Colombia, Belgium. They've played a lot of the World Cup contenders, and got another one against Argentina on Tuesday night at the Wanda, which I'm really looking forward to. I think that's going to be good fun. And if they can come through that without losing, then, you know, they'll have played almost every World Cup favourite bar Brazil, and they won't have lost to any of them. So yeah, you've got to consider them favourites, or one of the favourites.
Yeah, hard not to be optimistic about their chances in Russia. You mentioned Argentina coming to a stadium called Wanda on Tuesday, and Atleti very prominently linked with a couple of Argentine strikers in the last few weeks. Lautaro Martinez in particular, that one stretches back to last October and November. It looks like he's on his way to Inter, though, despite having signed with Atletico. This was a really weird situation. And Racing, his current club in Argentina, have really driven up the price on him from the $12 million that Atleti were going to pay to, I think it's over $30 million now that Inter are going to be paying, right?
Yeah, this is a perfect example you mentioned of, you know, never believing a deal's done until, you know, he's at the Wanda holding up a shirt.
Yep.
So yeah, I mean, yeah, Atletico's interest in him has been well documented. It goes back a long time, and they've been trying to get him, but I think in recent months his stock has risen so much that now there's a bit of a bidding war and there's other teams interested, and it looks like the price might have gotten too high for Atletico to pay. And yeah, it's quite a shame, because I can't claim to have seen much of him, but he seems like a promising young player.
Yeah, same. From what I've seen, it looks like he could be very talented. But I also think Atletico are doing the right thing here. You don't want to pay nearly triple of what you initially were going to pay just to say you have
power
on your team. Like, it's not responsible business. This is a guy who's never played in Europe. He's still just 20 years old. So $12 million would have been a perfectly reasonable deal. But $30 million is.
Yeah, you get to the checkout and, you know, the items you put in your trolley have gone up 3 times in price, then, you know, you don't just put them in your bags and hand over your credit card. You know, it's if the price rises, sometimes you gotta eat some mumble pie, walk away and you know, congratulate him on his move to Inter or whoever it's going to be, hopefully not a Spanish side.
Yeah, like Villarreal or something. He would be like the perfect Villarreal signing.
Yeah, that Villarreal kind of team of 10 years ago, I mean, this was the kind of guy they picked up, you know, every summer, and nobody had ever heard of them, and you know, they just always played so well with Villarreal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, yeah, I guess good luck at Inter. And Inter, you know, you're plopping down $30 million plus on him. Let's hope it's worth the investment. And who knows, if Simeone goes to Inter someday, maybe he'll manage him. Who knows? But Simeone, speaking of Simeone, this was a fun story. So last week, or within the last 10 days, I want to say at this point, Simeone and a couple of some of his family were having dinner, and in strolls Paulo Dybala, because, yeah, this is what happens. Dybala with a couple of his mates, and this is where the details get a little murky. Some sources said that they actually planned to have dinner together, while others said they just met at the restaurant, said hi to each other, and then nothing else happened. But, of course, this has given rise to rumors that Dybala is on Atletico's radar. We have a question from a Colchonero chat amigo, Tres Gatos, saying, Dybala meets up with Simeone at a restaurant in Madrid over the international break. What are Atletico's chances to land him if Griezmann is sold? What is his buyout at Juve? Ewan, take
story,
it away.
This story annoys me so much because... Oh man, like, so Dybala was apparently in Madrid for a few days. He's not in the Argentina squad, so he's got a 2-week holiday, decided to spend some days in Madrid with some friends, and met up with Simeone. And whether they planned to meet up or whether it was coincidence, I don't think this means that, firstly, I don't think this means he's coming to Atletico, and secondly, I don't think it means Simeone is trying to bring him to Atletico. It's two Argentine professionals. They both have a lot of respect for each other. One of them happens to be in Madrid. It sort of makes sense that they would maybe meet up and, you know, get together and share whether they had an actual meal or whatever. It makes sense that they might meet up and have a chat. It doesn't mean that Dybala's coming to Atletico Madrid, and it certainly doesn't mean that Griezmann is definitely going, which was one of the sort of other takes from the story, was the fact that Simeone was talking to Dybala. It sort of seemed to suggest to some people that he knew Griezmann was off and he was looking for a replacement. Griezmann might well leave, but I don't think it's going to be... I don't think this is lends any weight to that story. And of course, about, I don't know, maybe 12 hours after this story broke, we had the press conference with Diego Costa, who almost had his version of Piqué's Cicada when he insisted that Griezmann was going nowhere. So... And this was just at the exact moment a lot of people were getting into a frenzy that Atletico were losing Griezmann and getting Dybala. I don't think this dinner has anything to do with that, because just two Argentines happened to be in Madrid and they met up. No, I don't really see anything more than that.
I mean, the skeptic could say, oh, what a coincidence. But, I mean, this is not feasible for a couple reasons. Number one, I think Dybala has a buyout, so that makes things... very much not cut and dried for Atletico should they or anyone else try to pursue him. He would cost well over 120 million euros, and Atletico just can't pay that for anybody. And number two, as you intimated, we don't know if Griezmann's leaving, because that Costa kind of threw a wrench into that earlier this week, saying, you know, he called me when I was at Chelsea, he won't leave me now. And, like, I don't know, if Diego Costa is saying that to you, I think you listen to him, because that man means business.
Yeah, and I think for Griezmann, I mean, the Costa thing's so interesting, because I think he's realised in the last few months, I mean, Atletico are the informed team, really, of 2018 in La Liga, and I think he's realised, you know, a whole season with this guy, and we could really do something special. And I mean, Griezmann's had plenty of quotes as well this week, and basically his line is, you know, he'll decide before the World Cup, he wants his future decided before the World Cup, and I think he sort of means what he says. I think he doesn't know for sure what he wants to do. He might leave, he might stay. He just wants to, you know, in that sort of period between the end of the season and the start of the World Cup, he wants to have it all decided then. And yeah, I just don't think anything's decided yet. I think it's all still to come. And Dybala was just in Madrid and enjoying some of the tapas. Although I think it was an Indian restaurant they were at.
Oh, really?
Indian tapas.
Indian tapas. So. Quality.
Sharing some samosas, I don't know.
that a couple follow-ups on that. Number one, how important, in terms of Griezmann staying, how important is it to finish above Real Madrid, like, symbolically? And number two, what's your gut feeling? Is he going to stay or is he going to go?
I think with the Real Madrid thing, it's not so much finishing above Real Madrid, but what that would maybe mean. So I'll explain. If Atletico were to fall down and finish behind Real Madrid, that would obviously have meant they had a poor end of the season, and maybe that would throw some doubts in his mind of, okay, maybe this Costa-Griezmann partnership isn't quite as effective as I thought. But if this keeps going, if Atletico, you know, maybe don't lose any more games in La Liga or pick up, you know, the majority of the points and finish strongly in La Liga and do well in the Europa League, maybe even win it, then he's going to realise that something special is going on there. So I think it's more about the sort of sensations that the results give off rather than the actual results at this stage. And my gut feeling is he probably will go. If I had a sort of greasemometer, it would probably be leaning just on the sort of 55-60% side of he probably goes. But no, I'm still, I think, a lot more confident than a lot of people that he's maybe going to give it one more year, realizing just how good Atletico could be with him, Costa, and all the gang. And if they, you know, make some signings in the summer and have a stronger squad, I think he'll maybe stay for another year and see if he can win. Because I think for Griezmann, if he does leave, I don't think it's going to be a question of money. I think for Griezmann, his big thing is to start winning trophies. In his whole career, and he's already at his peak, in his whole career he's won one Spanish Super Cup, and that's it. And that probably didn't really feel like a big success because Atletico only got to play that Super Cup because they won the league, right? And they won that when he was at Real Sociedad. So I think he feels he's almost basically not got any medals from a career, and he definitely deserves some because he's one of the best players in the world. So I think for him it's about winning titles, but I think he would love to win one with Atletico. I think that would mean so much. That would almost be a proper title in his eyes. So maybe I stay another year, and if he doesn't get it, then he's got to go to Barcelona and win a couple leagues, win a couple Copa del Rey, and then have some potential for his career.
And the grass isn't always greener on the other side, though. We've seen before with players who have left Simeone's Atletico. I mean, Arda Turan made the switch from Atletico to Barcelona, which pretty much ruined his career. So the grass isn't necessarily always greener. But yeah, it's become more interesting in the last few weeks than it was previously. It seemed to me a very kind of straightforward situation. But with Griezmann's comments and with Costa's comments, that perhaps there is still silverware to be won here. Second place and winning the Europa League would be a very good season. I've said this before. I think that would be a very good season for Atletico. It would show that despite the club being in transition and despite the club selling off basically half Simeone's team in February, that there was progress made. That with a few more signings and some more growth, this is a team that really could do something special.
Yeah, I think a Europa League would mean a lot to Griezmann. You know, his first proper medal, and because he's come so close, you know, in the past, losing the Champions League final, and then just a couple months later losing the Euro 2016 final, and you know, his home country. He's come so close, and he's got nothing to show for his career so far, really, in terms of silverware. And you know, I think if we were in his shoes, I think we would all start thinking, you know, I need something to show for this. And I mean, going back to that Arda Turan point, I mean, it didn't really work out for him at Barcelona, but he, you know, he left with a lot of money and a few medals. So, yeah. You know, I think at this point, that's kind of what Griezmann needs to sort of have something to show for his career.
And you ask Arda, he'll probably say from a Civil War standpoint, it was certainly the right decision. From a playing standpoint, yeah, it wasn't, but he won the trophies he wanted to win, except the Champions League.
True. And of course, we also have to, you know, look at it from the point of view of Griezmann as a very different player from Turan. Not just in having more quality, but also you can see at Atletico, he is one of the players who doesn't mind working, who doesn't mind running back, tracking back, putting in a slide tackle. Turan was was not necessarily that kind of player at Atletico, and definitely not at Barcelona.
Yeah, that's definitely true. So, yeah, we'll see what happens there. It will be a really interesting run-in at the end of the season here. All right, let's talk about the badge, because this debate, you're excited, I can tell. This was reignited over the international break because, you know, we have nothing else to talk about. It's been said, not necessarily confirmed, but said that the new badge is proving really unpopular in terms of merchandising. There are already pretty heavy discounts on home and away shirts for this season, though, the shirts that were released, you know, 9, 10 months ago.
I think away jerseys are already half off, and home jerseys are also pretty discounted. It's always been unpopular with the fans, but now the club may be feeling it in terms of actual revenue. And there was a petition that's been started to return to the old badge, or at least have the club hear supporters who want the old badge, hear them out. And I want to say it's achieved over 7,500 signatures, which was the initial benchmark. And this has always been, since the new badge was unveiled in December of 2016, this has been a pretty fierce debate. There have been people kind of on both sides of it. Some people really, like the Frente, really militant about it, that this is just Cerezo and Gil Marin kind of stealing the club again, or like making such a huge change to the club that it's unrecognizable. Like, it takes away the sentiment and the passion and the pride of the old badge. And Antonio Ruiz of Cope remarked that it's now a trending topic, the hashtag don't touch the badge. So the club should listen and hear out the people who want the old shield returned. Colchonero chat amigo Abdelmalik Alharboa asked, with the increasing pressure from inside and outside Madrid on changing back the badge, how likely is it that the board will even comment on that demand? So, Ewan, we'll start there, and we'll kind of unpack the rest of this.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's still unlikely, but I think for the board, what matters is money. And, you know, the reason they changed the badge to this new one, and I love how the fans behind the petition don't even call it a badge, they call it a logo.
The logo, yeah.
I love that. Yeah. The reason they did this was because it was supposed to be more marketable, it was supposed to be more streamlined, easier to, just easier and more visual, and it was supposed to be more appealing, and it was supposed to make more money. And if it's true that it's actually bringing in less money, then that's the only way that I think the current board is going to react, is going to listen. And, you know, I don't think they're going to change it just because the fans don't like it. They'll change it if it's not making money. And it's hard to know as well. It'll be interesting to see maybe next season if they keep it, and I imagine they will for next season. I don't see anything changing that quickly, if it does at all. It'll be interesting to see how home kits sell that season, because a lot of tourists are still buying it. You can sort of see, I make this joke in Madrid when some of my friends came over, was you can see if someone's a Madrid-based Atletico Madrid fan or a tourist, usually buy if they've got this season's kit or one of the older ones. And I said this last season as well, even, you know, every season, even last year when they had the old badge, anyone who had last season's, the 2016-17 kit, was probably a tourist, because they've come to the city for maybe the first time, they've gone to the shop and they buy the current kit. Whereas you go to the Wanda or the Cauldron before, and you would see kits dating back to the days where they had Marbella sponsoring the front of the shirt, or the controversial Kia shirts as well. You see you see all these really, really old kits, because some of them are just really cool. And this season's kit, besides the controversy with the badge, I just don't really like the season's kit, with the sort of diagonal white stripes that cut through it. I think they changed too much all at once. And if next season they have a normal looking kit, just normal red and white block stripes, but with the new badge or the logo, I wonder how that would sell, because it would maybe look a bit more like an Atletico Madrid's kit, but it would have this new badge. So basically I think the board will wait it out for another year or two, see how the revenues change, and, you know, if it is seeming to lose money, then they might act. If it's not, I don't think they will.
Yeah, it's a really interesting point you made. I hadn't really considered that about if they had like a more standard shirt, like last year's shirt, just with the new badge. Because I think
I feel like they changed so much at once.
There's something, especially with the new stadium too, there's a lot of change
for sure.
And it's tough to embrace all that change at once. The new stadium, the slashes in the shirt, and on top of that, the new badge. So it's really tough to embrace all that at once. And I'm sympathetic to that. But yeah, the club's not going to listen just because people signed a petition. I mean, the petition, it's meaningful. It shows that there is activism. It shows that there's a desire to... A desire for change. I mean, obviously, it was a change.org petition, so there's a desire to change. But the club is not gonna listen. And as I agree with you, the only way that they will even consider returning to the old badge, it's not gonna happen in a year or two or probably even three. It's if revenue really declines from shirt sales. And from I haven't seen really concrete numbers. We probably won't see those till the end of the season. But the new stadium itself is bringing in a lot of revenue. It has, you know, they're getting attendance just about every week. That they have more, the attendance figures are higher capacity than the Calderon ever was. The Calderon sat about 54,000. Atletico are averaging that, give or take a few thousand seats every week. So the revenue, aside from shirt sales, is fine. But unless we see like a significant drop, like everyone just decides to wear the older shirts, like Marbella shirts or the Kia shirts from the Aguero and Forlan days, then we're not going to see change. And
it's really like no other club I can think of. I mean, you go to any other club in Spain, and you know, most people will have a shirt from the last 3 or 4 years, but Atletico I've always noticed has been a bit different, even way before there was any talk of stadium move or changes of logos or badges or whatever. Atletico has always been a club where people have worn the very retro shirts, almost as a sort of badge of honour of, you know, I've been supporting them since, you know, this shirt. It's almost like the way of sort of just, you know, subtly letting everyone know how long you've been supporting Atletico Madrid. And obviously tourists come to the city and you can only really get your hands on this year's shirt, maybe last year's, if you find it in some sort of second-hand store. So it makes sense that you know, it's going to be mostly tourists who are buying the current shirt. So maybe next year the 2017-18 shirt all of a sudden becomes, you know, in vogue, in fashion, because then all of a sudden it gets a bit of retroness about it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, age does make some things, it does make you fonder for some things in particular. Although the more militant Atletico fans will never be fond of this, and you just have to accept that.
No.
Yeah, it's whatever side you fall on. I mean, I see it both ways. I see that there was a lot of change happening at once, and the club really didn't market it very well. The club just threw this on supporters and said, right, here you go, accept it or not. Yeah, the club really didn't. I mean, the shirts didn't even come out till the end of July, first of all.
Yeah.
And they didn't change the badge at all until, I think, early June. So the marketing of this really wasn't very good from the club's standpoint. If they marketed it better, if they promoted it better, then maybe the reaction would have been different. In some circles, it would have been, I think, but not in others. There are just those supporters who you're never going to please. They would rather have things go back to the way they were when Aragonés was the coach. But, yeah. I kind of think it's, maybe it's just my perspective as someone living across the Atlantic, but it's not as big a deal to me. What's a bigger deal to me is that Jan Oblak's contract hasn't been renewed, that Diego Simeone has about 10 players to choose from right now, that the club, because Atletico couldn't get into the Champions League knockouts, they had to make 3 sales outside the window. How the club is being run, to me, is more important than how the club looks, how the club is dressing, literally, in the shirt, in the badge, walking out onto the pitch at the Wanda Metropolitano. Those are things that are of more substance to me, and that's just my opinion. That it's not as big a deal as some of the other things that are going on at Atletico. But I do understand and I do respect that there are these, you know, fans who've been supporting Atletico for 15, 25, 35 years who just objected to all this change coming down at once. I understand it. And you can definitely throw some blame at the club for that, for just not marketing what honestly is a pretty exciting change. Pretty exciting changes, not marketing it nearly effectively enough.
Yeah, exactly. And just like we mentioned, doing it all at once. I don't know if that was maybe the plan, was to sort of take the hit all at once, because they knew each thing, the stadium change, the badge change, all of these things were going to anger fans. So why not anger them all at once? Or maybe it would have been better to sort of spread it out a little bit. I don't know. It could have been handled better, but this is the situation we're in, and it's obviously a really big deal to some people. But at the same time, we're only really talking about it now because it is international break. There's nothing else really to talk about. And that's the thing, when there's actual football on, when Atletico are playing every week, you maybe don't hear about this quite as much. And I have a feeling this will just be brushed aside. And like we said, basically, unless it starts hitting them in the pockets, then no change is going to come about from change.org.
Yeah, and we don't know for sure how big the hit is to their pockets. And yeah, you're right. When the actual football returns, we won't see the hashtag, the badge won't be touched. We won't be seeing that. We'll be seeing, you know, other things like Road to Lyon or, you know, or Ha Ha Madrid or whatever.
Or Griezmann to Barca. That'll just be permanent there, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to anger a different set of fans, Ewan.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is a longer-term thing that we will probably talk about it again, probably over the summer, and we'll probably have a debate similar to this one, because this isn't going to go away. There are going to be a lot of supporters who are going to stick with this through the long haul, and they're going to make it their life's work to see the old badge returned. And I'm not going to tell them it's a waste of time, because it might not be a waste of time. We don't know. But it's right now, it's very unlikely in year one to expect Atletico to make a change in year two, year three, even within the first 5 years. You know, this is a brand new era here, both in terms of how Atletico look and in terms of how Atletico are playing and building a team. This is a new era.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we will leave it there unless you have anything else to add, Mr. McTeer.
I don't think so. I think that's the international break barrel has been well and truly scraped. I think we've covered everything there is to talk about. But yeah, it's been a pleasure as always.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on, Ewan. Always great to talk to you. You can follow Ewan on Twitter at emcteer, E-M-C-T-E-A-R. You can follow me, your host, Jeremy Barron, on Twitter at J-B-B-E-R-E-N. That's J-B Barron. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. Like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/Into the Calderon. Subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Colchonero Chat on your favorite podcasting platform that includes Apple Podcasts. Please leave a rating and a review, if possible, if you haven't done so yet. Would really help us out, get more eyes and ears on the program. Ewan, Hijacking La Liga will be available in the States on April 1st. Is that correct?
Yeah, very soon. Finally, very soon. A few months after it came out in Europe, my book on Atletico Madrid will be available stateside for everyone who's not already got it on the black market, of course.
Yes, go buy Hijacking La Liga when it comes out next week. Actually on Sunday it will be available, so you won't regret it. It's a great read, and we will catch you next week. Adios.